Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
And when we were talking about Easter coming up, and usually we have the Women Rock it right before Easter. So we've done the communion and we've done all of that before. And this year, because we do every other at Women Rock, we ended up in Palm, the beginning of Palm Week, Palm Sunday. And I thought, wow, we haven't been able to do this. And so we are going to give you guys some beautiful, it's a path through the journey of Jesus's walk. And it's a path to the cross. And it's a path that God ordained. And you know, God doesn't waste anything. I want to give you that. God doesn't waste anything. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God is not wasting this time. That there is a lesson and a purpose, even in the pain. He turns the pain around and he turns it into a message. He turns those things around that we don't understand. Why is it this way, God? Why are things happening this way? His disciples questioned him many times. Why are we going down this path? Why are we going to the city? When he went to go meet the woman, the Samaritan woman, he wasn't supposed to go that route. But God does everything on purpose. And I believe that God knew exactly what step he had to take in order for us right now in this room today to receive the power of the goodness and love of God. And so I have a beautiful panel of girls. In fact, they're not going to be my pastors. They're going to be my teaching team. And they are amazing, mighty women of God. And so I will introduce each of them to you as they have prepared different parts of this road to the cross. I'm giving the pastor some time off, but I'm making some of you work really hard. And so I wanted to set this up because it's funny how God does things. And maybe we feel bad about things that we're not on. How many type A people are in this room? Do you know what type A means? Yeah, if you're type A, you know you're type A. If you say, I don't know, then you're not type A. I can't laugh right. So, I was starting this reading plan last year, okay? And it was supposed to read through the Bible January 1. And I'm supposed to read like everything that I'm supposed to do. And it's a chronological Bible. So it doesn't go Genesis to Revelation. It goes according to where the different timelines are. And they put all those chapters together, which is pretty awesome. And as I was reading so fast, I was missing so much good stuff because I'm not a great reader. And so I have to read things about 3 or 4 times to even understand what is going on. And so I was like looking at Dan, and he's like Speedy Gonzales reading through these scriptures, and I'm like feeling very intimidated, you know, like you need to go read your Bible time somewhere else. And then I was doing it with Pastor Teresa. God, do nothing with the educator, okay? And if you're like me. And then I was doing it with Pastor Michelle or Melissa, and she is like type A, you know, she's like, isn't it a great word today? And I'm thinking, I need to go back and read it again because I missed half of what it said because I was so worried about finishing it. You know, have you ever been that person? Like, okay, well, halfway through the year, like not even halfway. Okay, we got to June. And I was like, this is too much. I'm missing out on so much good stuff. So I started slowing myself down, and I just like the Bible period, how they break it up and put it all into those sections. And so I've been reading slowly, and oh my goodness, I'm getting so much out of it. Dan is mad at me because he's on his second year, and he's like, hurry up. And I'm like, move on, dude. Get your own Bible. And so as I've been reading, I think the Lord did this on purpose because it was such a perfect time right now for you girls. And I'm going through the prophets, and I identify with the prophets. I understand their brash personalities. I understand the pain that they have to go through that shut up in your bones, and you feel like a big mouth, and you feel like you're ruining people's lives. I understand them, so I like the prophets because it makes me understand myself. But here I was reading in Zechariah, and literally, we had already made this plan for you guys. And yet, God brought me right to the prophecy of this day that we are talking about today. And so, we're going to just read straight out of the word. You ready? Go with me to Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9. And I'm reading out the New Living Translation. And it says, rejoice, O people of Zion, Zechariah 9:9. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Now, let me just set this up for you. They were coming out of Egypt, okay? And Egypt was so rich. It was so full of so many things. And God is saying, I'm going to redeem back my people. They will no longer be in this world of gathering sin and a whole bunch of stuff. But in fact, I'm going to take everything from them and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to put my blessing on you. So God is talking to Israel, okay? So it says, look to your king. He is coming to you. He is righteous and he is victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey colt. Now imagine being them back then. They're going, what? Oh, okay. Like, Zechariah's crazy. What's he talking about? Yes, we believe in the Lord. We know he's coming for us. But he's coming on a colt? Okay. All right, so they have been reading these passages. When we get to the New Testament, you're going to understand why they were ready for Jesus when he came through the town. Because there had been a prophecy that he was going to come this way. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. Can we get an amen? Boy, are we watching this right now. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth, because the covenant I had made with you, sealed with blood, I will free the prisoners from the death in the waterless dungeons. Now listen to me, this is a prophecy of Jesus' blood being shed, the only one. But all they knew at that time was blood sacrifice of animals. So think about the context into which they're listening to this prophetic word. And yet now we, after knowing what Jesus did and came for us, it was actually God himself that became the spotless lamb to deliver us from the waterless dungeon. What is that? Hell. Wow. I love how poetic the word is. Verse 12, come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each one of your troubles. How many of you are like, praise the Lord. God is not done with me yet, but his goodness will pour out on me. Judah is now a bow, Israel is my arrow, and Jerusalem is my sword, and like a warrior, I will brandish it against the Greeks. And the Lord will appear. Can I just pause for a second? All this anti-Semitism, even in the Christian world, knock it off, guys. Do not be on the wrong side of this. God has anointed Israel. They might not always do things right, but guess what? Neither do you. And God's hand is on them. And you need to be on the right side when he returns. Then the Lord will appear above all his people, like arrows will fly like lightning. And the sovereign Lord will sound the ram's horn and the attack like a whirlwind from the southern desert. The Lord of heaven's armies will protect his people, and they will defeat their enemies with the hurling of great stones, and they will shout in battle as though drunk with wine. They will be filled with the blood, like the bowl drenched with the blood, like the corners of the altars. And the day that the Lord their God will rescue his people, just as a shepherd rescues his sheep, they will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How wonderful and beautiful they will be. The young men will thrive with abundant grain, and the young women will flourish with new wine. Church, we are already there. And let me tell you why. Go to Zechariah 2. Zechariah 2. And it says in verse 10, then the Lord says, shout and rejoice, beautiful Jerusalem, for I am coming to live among you. Many nations will join themselves to the Lord on that day. Are we seeing that now? And they too will be my people. Isn't that good news for us Gentiles? Isn't that good news? I will live among you, and you will be known that the Lord of heaven armies will be sent to me, to you, and the land of Judah will be the Lord's special possession in the Holy Land, and he will once again choose Jerusalem to be the only city. Be silent before the Lord, all humanity, for he is springing into action from this holy dwelling. we have seen God spring into action for us through this path. And yet, it prophesied that Jesus was going to come riding in on a donkey. He came in a humble way. He came in a humble position. And so, who's the first person that I think is Pam? I'm going to have Pam come up, and we're going to actually go through the journey that Jesus is going to be taking through this on Palm Weekend, okay? And so, I'm going to introduce Pam Espinoza. How many of you know Pammy? Okay, a lot of you do, and a lot of you don't. That's okay. Pam has been a part of our church for a very long time, and she left to go pastor at a different church, and they are now back, and she is just a gift in my life. I just love Pammy. She's just gold. And we would always say, well, what would Pammy do? Because Pam will give you the right. She'll be honest with you, but she will also lead you to righteousness. And so I just know that God has a word for her. So, Pam, will you come up and take us through the first part of this story? Can we give her a Women Rock welcome?
I love you. I love you. It's on. Oh, good, it's on. Ooh, they know me all right. You guys, how beautiful is it? Palm Week. Oh, my goodness. I am reading out of the New Living, so I brought my phone. And I got to lay this down. Sorry, I should have got it ready, but I was listening, so I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know what? We're reading Luke 19, 28 through 34. I'm kind of going to go fast because I only have so much time. So have your pens out. Be ready because I'm going to tell you something. Today is about learning. It's learning to hear God's voice, listening to his voice, and doing something about it, just like we're going to hear right now. Right now. Okay. Are you guys ready? Are you there? Okay, good. Luke 19, verse 28, New Living. After telling this story, so I'm going to back up a little bit about the story, okay? The story is that Jesus and his disciples were actually in Jericho. They were in Jericho, and that is where I'm sure you've all heard about Zacchaeus. We all know that he was a little man, and he couldn't see through the crowd, so he climbed up the tree, right, so that he could see Jesus. Jesus comes through. He sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. I'm coming to your house. At the end of that, Zacchaeus repents, and he is on fire for the Lord, okay? Also in that backstory is where Jesus tells the mass crowd about the parable of the talents. So now, after telling this story, back to verse 28, Jesus went towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. After telling the story, Jesus went toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. 29, as he came to the towns of Bethphage, probably saying it wrong, but it's about that, and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. So you can see it. He's leading, right? So he's got his disciples right behind him, and he tells two of them, let's see what he tells them. He sends two of them. He tells them, go into that village over there. He told them, as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Thing about an untied donkey, let me tell you about a donkey. A donkey is a prized possession. So this is actually really cool. And he's never been ridden. So this is really cool, okay? He tells them, untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you are untying that colt, just say that the Lord needs it. So verse 32, so they went and they found the colt, get this, just as Jesus said. Remember those words, just as Jesus said. Wow. Let's see. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. See, the disciples, they heard. And immediately, they followed the instructions given to them. Wow, what does that say to us? We also need to hear, and we need to learn to follow his instructions. He gives us instructions. Each and every one of us, he gives us instructions in our life. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word that God speaks is alive. It's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's the word of God. That's not this literally, but you know, it's right here. That's the word of God that we have with us. That's powerful. Powerful. Jesus, let me say, John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. They know, I know them, and they follow me. Okay, let's see what it really says. Jesus says, my sheep, that's us, my sheep, we are his sheep. We listen to his voice. He knows us, and we follow him. That's what it's saying. That's what we do. Jesus gave specific instructions. One, go into the village. That's simple, you guys. Go into the village. Two, you will find a colt tied up. Three, untie it and bring it. Number four, if asked why, say the Lord needs it. How simple is that? We make life so much harder, don't we? That was so simple. See, the disciples, they obeyed without questioning, right? They didn't stand back and have all these questions. Well, yeah, but why? You know, the famous question, why? Why are we doing this, though? This is your plan, but why? What is it? What's it about? They just, they didn't need all the details like we do, or I do. Like, I want to know everything. I want to know from here to there, well, why do you want me to do that? They didn't need that. And everything happened just exactly as God said it would. Wow. See, we need to trust God when instructions feel incomplete or uncomfortable. I mean, can you only imagine how, I don't know. I can only imagine that must have felt pretty uncomfortable. You know, like, hey, Jessica, Tiva, why don't you guys go on up there and here's what you're going to do. You're like, what? I'm doing that? So it's crazy. But listen, the disciples were told to take a colt that wasn't theirs. This would feel pretty uncomfortable and even risky, and yet they did it. They listened and they did it. In our lives, a lot of times God might ask us to do something that we feel uncomfortable or we might feel really, really risky. Really risky to do, and we got to just learn to do it. We got to learn to listen and to obey and not to think so much on it. Sometimes we put too much thought into it. It's like we can hear the voice of God and we can be reactive to it, right? We can respond to it, not reactive. We can respond. Reactive is a whole other thing. We won't talk about that right now. When was the last time that you intentionally listened to his voice? Think about that for a minute. How many times we get up, we read the word. Okay, I did all this. Okay, I'm good. There's so much more. Do we respond to the word? Everything he says in the word is for us. For today. Not just back then, but for today. Life application. Here's what I want us to take away with this today. One, hear. Let's slow down to hear. God's voice is always speaking, but the noise and the busyness make it hard for us to hear. So we have to intentionally slow down. Slow down. Allot 15 minutes. If you're a mom with little kids, and when I was a mom, well, I'm still a mom, but when I was a mom of little kids, I used to have I'd write it down, and I'd even put it at the sink, scripture, put it at the sink, so I could just be reading it, just getting it in my spirit. So no matter what, we can set time aside, slow down to hear his word. Number two, recognize. Let's practice recognizing God's voice. See, God speaks gently. His instructions are specific. What did he say? Go into that village. You will find a colt tied up. Untie it and bring it. And if asked why, the Lord needs it. Simple. He speaks directly. He speaks very clearly. His promptings always align with the word. Now, the thing is, you're going to have to get into your word, right? You need to get in the word to make sure it's aligning with the word, okay? But his promptings will always align with the word. Number three, respond promptly, not eventually. That's the thing, right? Gosh, I'm telling you, sometimes God can say a word, and then sometimes we're just so busy thinking on it, we talk ourselves right out of it that it was never God. And it was God all along. So when God gives you a word, respond promptly. don't stand around and talk and think about it. The disciples, they did not stand around and talk before they went and did what the Lord told them to do. They just said, okay, they just kept going. They said, all right, they just went. When you sense God leading, don't overthink it. I'm telling you, it is so easy to overthink things, right? You could tell me something, and I could take it to a whole nother place because I think too much. I can never get accused that I don't think, because I do think. I may not always act like it, but I do. And so don't overthink it. Don't think too much, okay? Number four, follow through. Obey the word, even when it feels risky and uncomfortable. How does he speak to us? Sometimes I've been in the line at the grocery store, and then I'll see the person in front of me, and all of a sudden I have felt like God was telling me to pay for her bill, and I'm like, no, that's embarrassing for her and for me. Like, I would be embarrassed if somebody did that for me. I mean, I'd be grateful, but I'd still be embarrassed, okay? But I've had to be like, okay, I can feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So was that uncomfortable? Yeah. Did I want to do it? No. I mean, I did to bless them, but I didn't want to have to step out and do it, right? But we have to step out and do it. So promptly, not eventually. Don't let discomfort stop obedience to his word. Let me tell you what, delayed obedience is disobedience. It's not delayed. It's just flat out disobedience. If you're a mom and you have your little kids, remember back when they wouldn't listen? And they would just delay and delay and delay. So was that considered disobedience then? It was, and it is for us as well. Also, it allows fear and doubt to enter in. We don't want that. Trust God even when the instructions feel incomplete. God often reveals the next step. He rarely will reveal the whole plan. He has a whole plan. We just don't know. We don't know it. We see it one step, one word at a time. He says this. We go. He says this, we go. Oh, we're going this way now, we go. We don't know where it's taking us. We don't know what we're doing, but we know God and we know he does. So that's where that's at. Did I do it in my time? I think I did. Okay, so listen, here's your table discussion question. Give an example of a time you heard God's voice and you followed through with his direction.
I wanted to introduce the next wonderful, amazing, mighty woman of God, and she has just recently, in a year, we have joined families, and so we are, I don't know, we're like great aunties right now. We just became great aunties this week. My nephew had, and her niece got married and had a baby, and so she's absolutely gorgeous, But Tiva is my friend. Tiva is a partner in ministry. And Tiva is a mighty, mighty woman of God. And so can we give Tiva a hand? And Tiva, bring us over.
Well, hello, everyone. You know, it's such an honor that I get to just be on this platform in this kind of arena like this right now. Normally, you see me jumping and praising the Lord, but this time I actually got to be part of the teaching team, and so thank you, Pastor. All right, so if you are in your Bibles, let's dive into Luke 19, and we're going from 35 to 40. That's my portion. I don't know if they have it up there, but I'll read it from here. All right. And it says, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles they had seen. They were singing, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It says also, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Right? So the breakdown of this portion of scripture that I get today, it says, can you imagine? What an awesome picture this was. Jesus riding in on a donkey, and all the crowds are all over the place, and they're like worshiping and praising him and saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. What a beautiful picture, an entrance, right? Riding on a donkey, and I love it. But one thing I did notice, it says that there were some who didn't feel the same way, right? There were some naysayers in that crowd, and I didn't like it. To me, I was like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And these were the religious people, the Pharisees of the time. They opposed Jesus' teaching, and they didn't accept that Jesus was the Messiah. They disagreed, and they didn't want to see his followers engaging in praise. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody's going to challenge me not to praise the Lord, I'm going to win. I'm just saying that to you right now. I'm going to win. But there are going to be, and this is the real, there are going to be people or circumstances that will try to stop you from praising God, right? Do we know some of those people or some things? There are going to be people who disapprove of your faith to praise God. But can I encourage you today? Don't let them silence your joyful praise. Psalm 63, 3-4 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Don't allow people or things to dictate your heart of gratitude. You know, when I've seen my children be so thankful for the things that they've gotten, they're pretty loud about it. Like, yes, Mom got me an iPhone. I was like, oh my God, that's a big bill. But nothing could prevent them from their heart being so thankful. And that's a challenge for us this morning, today in our lives, that we don't allow the things or people or circumstance dictate how we praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm almost there. But I was thinking, you know, sometimes you're going to have to praise him even when life doesn't make any sense. Did anybody testify about that? I remember my husband when he got into a car accident. He burned the front portion of both legs. Almost couldn't get out of the truck that he was in. But I believe an angel rescued him. Because if you see my husband, he's like 6'3", about 280 pounds, well, probably 300 pounds. He's a big guy trying to fit out of a little window. But God did it. God did it. Amen? So I know he can do it for us too. And I love that there's a reminder that God tells us that we ought to always remember who he is. That refocuses us, that recenters us, and it puts our perspective, our heart posture, in a place where we say, God, I'm going to focus not on the things that don't look right now. I'm going to focus on you and who you are. And maybe the song that you would sing to recenter yourself would be, I don't know if you noticed, but I got Chris to come up here. maybe you sing, what's the key? I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. So I'll pour out my praise again. Your word, sing girls. You're worthy of all. Right here, your promise. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I live to tell. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Isn't he worthy? You know, there's a story in the Bible in Acts 16, 25-26, and it's about Paul and Silas. Most of us remember that scripture. And see, Paul and Silas, they worshiped when their lives didn't look like it made any sense. They were thrown in prison for not worshiping false gods. And this is what Acts 16, 25-26 says. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to the foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. they fell off. But it didn't make any sense, right? It didn't make any sense to worship God in a place like prison. They were in the worst of all places. And sometimes many of us are in the worst of our places. Maybe you are chained up. Maybe you feel locked up. But one thing I did see in this scripture, and yet they knew the goodness of God and who he was. They boldly, in chains, locked up in the prison in darkness, boldly, they worshiped God. But no fear. Even if there was other consequences that were gonna happen, they weren't scared. And we ought to not be scared too. When we think about the goodness of God and what he's done in our lives, how can we not have a posture of gratefulness? How can we not have a posture of, God, I'm thankful? And just maybe you sing a song. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. Sing. All my days I've been held in your hand. Here we go. From the moment that I wake up, come on, until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. We sing all my life, come on. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life, Jesus. And all my life you have been so, so good. Come on, with every breath. Mercy. Your goodness. Your goodness is running. It's running after me. Yes. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid out, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's his goodness, and all my life, with every breath, with every breath, I'm able, I will see of the goodness. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the goodness. Even when life seems hard, I will sing of the goodness. Amen, amen, amen. Before I wrap my little 7-minute devotion up, I wanted to say praise is a celebration. It's to boast about something that holds value. See, when my children were born, we celebrated because, well, I value them. And they're worthy of celebrating. Like if the 49ers ever won a Super Bowl. I'm just saying, you know, it's, I hold value in that, and it's worth celebrating when it happens. But I asked myself, and I'm hoping that you would ask yourself some of these, this question. Whenever you're coming into the house of the Lord, or just in life in general, I ask this question: is he worthy of celebrating? Right? Is he worthy of celebrating? If you knew my God, he would be worthy of celebrating. Is anybody here in this house this morning can say, you know what, God? You're worthy of celebrating. You're worthy of my adoration. You're worthy of my praise. Not somebody else's, but my own, Tiva's praise. Are you worthy? So if I can challenge you today, when you walk in any place, or even in your home, when things don't seem like they're going very well, ask yourself that question. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Today, last thing. I like saying last thing because Pastor always says one more thing. Who would give me 5 more minutes? One more thing. But I would like for everyone to declare what I've called a worship declaration. And I don't know if they might have up there. Yeah. Let's start with the first one. And the reason why I put this up there, because it encourages me. And I'm hoping that you walk away from this house this morning saying this declaration. Worship declaration. Let's go. One, I will praise God no matter the circumstances, even if my situation doesn't change. He's still worthy to be praised. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Number two, I will praise God even when life doesn't make any sense. I will remember who he is and what I've seen him do. Is there a witness in the house? And here's a promise. Here we go. Ready? From this day and until eternity, I make this promise. No rock will ever take my place of praising him. So if you can, stand on your feet for just like 20 seconds. Could you stand on your feet? Right there. I promise no rock will ever take my place. No rock will ever take my place of praising him because he's worthy. Amen.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, first off, not fair that you get to sing and teach. I just got a big mouth that annoys people. We're going to have a conversation later. Wasn't that special? Oh, thank you, Tiva. You had me in tears. You took all my makeup off. And so I'm so grateful for what God is doing. And the next beautiful, amazing, young, mighty woman of God, I have seen an anointing on her life. She was with us from the very beginning. Her grandma was in the choir. She has been brought up in the things of the Lord. Her and her husband got married here. They have a beautiful, beautiful son, Atlas, and he's just my little guy. But Akia has graduated Bible college. She has gone to Cal Baptist. She is one of our worship leaders here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And Akia, will you come on up and in your rightful place, come teach us from the Word of God?
Oh, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, not fair, because look, he's leaving now. So holy. Tiva was talking about the praise and how the Pharisees, haters, were like, tell your disciples to be quiet. And we were kind of talking around our table. Pastor Sue actually said something I had written, something similar in my notes. She said, you know, it's crazy to me, and I've always wondered, like, God, how do these people that spend this time praising you 1 week later flip and they crucify him? And one of the things that I've always asked the Lord is, like, God, I don't understand the Pharisees. Like, these were people who studied you. They were not people who were outsiders who didn't know anything about God. They had studied the Word of God, and they knew what they were looking for. And the scriptures that I have, it's fun because, you know, Pastor Melissa's like, okay, Pammy's going to talk about this, and Tiva's going to talk about worship. Yours are a little hard, though. They're kind of like the theological ones. I'm like, oh, man. we're gonna pick up in Luke 19, and we're going to read verses 41 through 44. I have a couple of different translations, so they'll all be on the screen, but this is what it says, verse 41. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. how I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. Verse 44, they will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. And we'll talk a little bit about the Pharisees more, but Jesus is weeping. Like, people are celebrating and they're laying their clothes on the ground and they are all in it and he's weeping. Why? Because he's recognizing and he's actually prophesying what would happen. That because they didn't recognize that God was with them, they didn't give attention to the signs and the times of the age. That they would actually, that would come with consequence. That it would lead to their demise. And just in our praying, in my time of praying, I was asking the Lord, okay, God, what does that mean for us? Because we get to look back and see very clearly. Duh, right? I mean, we read Zechariah, right? To the donkey. But this is what the Lord is saying. He's, be on watch. We have to pay attention to the times and the season that we are currently living in. Because he is returning for a bride that is not sleeping. And, you know, my mom's not here, but my mother-in-law is. And I would actually say this about you, too. My mom is like a conspiracy theorist. Anybody else? Yes, that's okay. And so she's on watch. She is on watch. Oh, if you feel that personally, amen. She's on watch, okay, because she's raised three kids by herself. Like, she's like, be careful when you go to the gas station because I heard that they're putting this on the pump. And I'm like, Ma, I got to get gas. Like, I don't know what to tell you, right? But she's on watch, and I just felt the Lord saying, like, we have to be on watch. We can't afford any longer. And I want to make this note that what we're seeing is hard. It is difficult to watch. I was talking with some of our interns the other day. I'm like, guys, you can watch someone lose their life on a screen. And they don't have to be near you anymore. It is difficult to watch. But I do believe that the Lord is saying we have to give attention to it. We can't allow the fear of what we're seeing and the fear, it wants to settle in. It wants to make its home there. It wants to present itself as bigger than God. But it is not. He's known the beginning from the end all the way back when. And he's not surprised by any of it. And so we have to encourage ourselves. And there's a tension to this. I think we don't, you know, my mom, I think she's a conspiracy theorist, but you know, there would always be the news playing in our home. And here's the thing, I'm not telling you that you have to have the news on 24/7. Please don't. Like, there's a healthy amount of information that we should consume. And then there's things that's like, all right, I'm not gonna give attention to that. But we do have to watch. We do have to give attention to. We do have to find out what's happening in our world because, like I said, the church can't be asleep. We have to be the answer. And so there's a parable in the book of Mark, so I'll give you some time to turn there. And we're going to go to Mark 13. And Jesus, the people around him are just asking at that point, like, God, give us a sign. Like, what's going to happen? How will we know? We're going to need a sign of the times. And Jesus had just said, well, you know, he'd given this parable of a fig tree. Like, if you garden, which I'm just trying to keep an olive tree alive right now. But if you garden, you know, like, when things need, Pastor Dan was talking about this yesterday. Like, when things need to be cut off, when things need to be pruned, right? And so he's saying, Jesus gives them this example of the fig tree. When you see the fig tree start to sprout, you're going to know that it's summer's coming. Because, I don't know, they didn't have calendars, I guess, at that time, maybe. I don't know. But there's signs to things. He's giving clues, right? That when its branches start to sprout leaves, summer is coming. And this is what he said. In Mark 13, we're going to go 32 through 37. I'm going to read it in the message because I think it says it really well. But the exact day and hour, no one knows that. Not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father. So keep a sharp lookout, for you don't know the timetable. It's like a man who takes a trip, leaving home and putting his servants in charge, each assigned a task, and commanding the gatekeeper to stand watch. So stay at your post, watching. You have no idea when the homeowner is returning, whether evening, midnight, cockcrow, or morning. You don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. I say it to you, and I'm saying it to all, stay at your post, keep your watch. And we have to stay at our post and keep our watch. And when we're watching, we're not watching to judge. We're not watching to, oh, Lord, this is getting crazy. Just go ahead and, like, rapture me up. Because I know that we can feel that way. Like, you know what? This was too much anyway. Just going to go. That would be convenient for us. But guess what? God has people on his heart. And we have to watch and be present so that there's someone to tell them that he's coming. Amen? And we have to watch so we can pray. It says they missed him and he was right before them. We can't let that be the bride of Christ. And the second little piece that I want to share, because I do think we do have to watch what's happening in the world, but I want to go back and talk how we talked about the Pharisees. Like I said, God, they studied you. They knew, they would read the Torah. They knew. How do they miss you? But I believe the Lord was saying that they had an expectation and he didn't come in the way that they wanted him to. And that's easy to point out in other people. But the thing is, we have to be on watch in our own hearts. Because there might be things that God is doing in your midst that we might not even be able to see because we expect him to come a certain way. Like, he's only going to heal my marriage this way. He's only going to save my children this way. And God's saying, do you see that I'm doing something through all of this? I was just talking to another young woman. She was talking about her family's going through some things. And you know what she said to me? I was like, you are so holy. She said, I'm realizing what God's doing. It's the mercy of God. In this situation that seems hard, it's the mercy of God that he's doing it the way he's doing it. It's not the way that she expects it. It's not the way she probably would have planned it. But she could see that God's in it. And my last little scripture here that we're going to read, it's going to be in Isaiah 55. And you've heard this before. Verses 8 through 9, it's going to be in the NASB. It says, this is Jesus, or God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts. And my thoughts, that's okay, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is going to do it. He's going to do his way. The Pharisees, they expected him to come, and he is all these things, okay? So please hear my heart. They expected him to come and take authority and to be above the government, and they wanted a king. And yet he comes on a donkey, and even before that, as a baby. It didn't look like what they thought. He would never talk to these kinds of people. He would never go through Samaria. He would never interact with prostitutes. And yet, that's the exact people he went to first. And so, I just want to encourage us, praise the Lord. I just want to encourage us that sometimes God's doing something, before our eyes, and we just have to align our hearts. We have to align our hearts to it. So we have a reflection question. I just want, like, to give you a couple of minutes to write these down, and you probably won't be able to answer all of them right now, but just to go back later and ask God to reveal to you, God, am I being watchful not just about what's happening in our world, not just for the signs and the times of your return, but am I being watchful in my heart too? So can we put those reflection questions up? And you could take a picture if that's easier, because I ask a lot of questions. Do I find myself watchful of the seasons we're in, or have I let fear keep me from seeing? Number two, am I prayerful about what I see, or am I just judging it and trying to escape it? Let me out of here, Lord, please, but we can't. Number three, are there ways that God has shown up lately that I hadn't recognized, but now do, and I need to align my heart with? Because we want to be the bride that recognizes him when he comes. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Thank you.
Wow, Kia, that was amazing. Absolutely amazing. These questions are deep. I do want to challenge you to really challenge yourself this next week as we're walking into Easter to ask these questions to yourself. So take a picture, put it on your phone, and go back to it maybe in your devotional time. I just want to say to the three of you, well done. What a beautiful, beautiful journey. Didn't they do amazing? I get to be surrounded by these girls, and so I wanted to introduce their gifts and callings to you today. And I believe that God is not done with us, so we will have some table time, but I just felt like this was the right time, especially after what Akia was talking about. The Lord had been kind of sandwiching what they were doing and showing me how to wrap this up, because Jesus is coming. We can see it. We don't know the day nor the hour, but he does tell us that we will know the signs of the times. And so sometimes I think us conspiracy theorists, when I say us, I saw all the chemtrails driving in today. And I'm joking if you think I'm weird. I'm not, because it's true. It's all happened. So anyways, there are chemtrails, yes, and I prayed against that they will, if we drink anything deadly, it will not hurt us. So, because I'm like, what are those things? So, okay, we got off topic. We're getting back. Come back with me. Come back. We can do this in women's ministry, right? We don't tell the men this happens. Okay, Hebrews 10. Go with me to Hebrews 10. I know that we are kind of ending on a heavy, but I don't think that the Holy Week is light. I don't think it's light. I don't think it's on purpose not supposed to be light. It's not until Sunday when we get to celebrate, but I want us to walk the journey this week. I want you to reflect in your heart this week. I want you to cleanse yourself of sin this week. I want you to ask God to change some things in you this week. Because God is always asking us to examine ourselves. He's always asking us to be the watchman on the wall. I don't want to be that Pharisee, but I want to be that disciple. I was thinking about when Jesus went to the garden and he asked them to pray. And he came back and he's like, seriously, you're sleeping? Right? Like, let's try and be prayer warriors this week. What can we pray for? What can we do? What can we back up? What can we break off? What can we speak into existence in our land? We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our cities. We need to pray for our school systems. The systems of this world are dark and they're dreary. But girls, we carry the power of a living God who changes the trajectory of anything that we are facing. And sometimes I think we lay down and we forget how much God is in us and how powerful his will is in us to do what he commands of us to do. And so, as I was thinking about this and I was going into Hebrews 10, I think I'll start in verse 28. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without the mercy of a testimony of two or three witnesses. So this is Old Testament. Just think how much worse
The punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy. I don't want us to treat this week and let it pass us by as common. Oh, it's Easter. We do this every year. What are we going to eat on Easter afternoon? What is our dress? Do we have an Easter dress for church? No, but I want it to be holy. Not uncommon, but common in our hearts and holy in our hearts. And have insulted the disdained, the Holy Spirit, who brings God's mercy to us. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge and I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. This is a terrible thing, to fall into the hands of a living God. I'm going to jump down to verse 36. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you, patient endurance. It's what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, and then you will receive all that he has promised you. Patient endurance is a steadfast and a holding in his holiness, a steadfast and a security in his mercy. It is a place that we get to as believers, as Christians, those that said no to our sin, walked away from our past, walked away from our old ways of life, and stepped in to the sacrificial lamb that was on that cross and said, you are God, and I believe you to be God. There is no other God before you. And we only receive our salvation through Jesus Christ and believing he is God. He's not a prophet. He's not a disciple. He's not just a good man. He's not a story in a Bible that's not real. He is a living, powerful, omniscient, mighty, sovereign God. And he came for us. I don't know about you, but take a moment to think about who you were before him. I am so grateful that he cleansed me and washed me of my sin. I am so grateful that he thought me valuable enough to rescue me that day that I was in the pit of hell on my way to hell, and it was going fast, and I was going down that slide fast. I am so grateful that he rescued me from the flames of hell, and that he restored me, and he healed my mental capacity, and he healed my heart, and he heals my body. And he's taking care of this church, and he's taking care of you, that he loves you and that he cherishes you. This is who he is. He didn't just do it then, but he still is continuing to work in our lives every single day to those of us that said yes to him, that put away our old man, that not just knowing who he is in our head like those Pharisees, but we receive him into our heart to be one with us, to walk with me every day, to wake up with me in a good mood or a bad mood. He's always there. Who loves me despite my foolishness, who gently tugs me and says, hey, that was wrong. You need to go fix that and make that right. You see, he's my partner. He's the lover of my soul. He's my first love, and I pray he is that for you as well. So for those of you, let's have a patient endurance, because he's coming again. He's going to ride in on that horse, and he's going to break through those clouds. He's coming for his church. That trumpet is about to sound. God is on his way, and he is coming for his bride. So girls, let's stay lit. Let's keep oil in our lamps, and let's keep going. For some of you in this room, you may be in a position where you don't know Jesus like I just talked about. You knew him in your head, but you don't know him in your heart. And you say, God, I need to make him the Lord of my life. I need to submit all that I have into his hands. I want to let you know, first and foremost, you will never be able to clean up your life without him. You got to come to him first, and then he cleans us up along the way. And that work does not end until we go home to be with Jesus, because none of us are perfect. And so he is calling you today. He's inviting you today. Jesus himself is inviting you to come and be in a relationship with him. This is not just a religion or a tradition or something we do as Christians. No, this is a relationship with God Himself. People will say they're Christians, but they don't act like Christians. They don't really make God the Lord of their life. They are the Lord of their lives, and God is an afterthought. But I'm here tonight and today to challenge you to make God the Lord of your life. You must decrease so that He can increase in your life. How do I do that, Pastor? You simply invite Him to come. You simply talk to Him, and you pray and you ask Him to come and be the Lord of your life. If you've been running from God instead of to God, maybe you did pray this prayer at one time in your life and you've been running from God, you've been doing more of your own thing instead of God's thing. Your interests, those things that pull you away from God are stronger than the power of God in your life. And you can't do this on your own. It is time to come back to God. You do not have time, as we talked about. It is time now to get our lives right. It is time now to teach our children. It is time now to stand up for righteousness. It is time now to save souls. It is time now. We do not and are not promised tomorrow. Life is so fragile. I'm a pastor. I hear the worst stories ever. We're burying a 19-year-old who had gotten a car accident or a motorcycle accident. He didn't think that was his last day. I can tell you story after story after story. They did not know it was their last day. Today is your day. You are here now. You are hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And He is drawing you to Him. And so if you need Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you need to repent of your sin and you need to run to Him, I want to give you this opportunity. So on the count of three, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my hand on the table like that. And when I do, I want you to raise your hand. See, why do I got to do that? You guys are one of those churches. Why don't we just quietly? Because when you walk out those doors, I need you to be bold for the decision you made in here. Because you're going to have every person telling you, what are you talking about? You're going to have your old life coming and robbing this from you and stealing the goodness that God has poured out on your life. And I want you to be bold and take a stand. If you can't do it here in a room full of women praying for you right now, we are all exes of everything. We've done it ourselves. And I'll tell you, it is the best decision I've ever made in my whole life. You are surrounded by love. You're surrounded by encouragement. And the King of Glory is calling you back into a relationship with Him. And so today, receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, get ready on the count of three. If you've been running from God instead of to God, get ready on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hands and keep them up so I can see them. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Awesome. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. Okay? So that was easy, right? We're going to just bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes and we're going to ask God to come and be a part of our life like we talked about. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before You and I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I believe You died on that cross and that because of Your sacrifice, I now can be clean, but I need to confess that You are Lord. I believe You are God. You are the only God, the one true God. And I invite You to come into my life. Wash me, cleanse me, and save me. Help me to know You deeper. Help me to know Your love. Walk with me through this life. Holy Spirit, I invite You to come and live and dwell within me. Teach me Your ways. Thank You, Jesus, that today is the day that I made a decision to serve God with all my heart and all my life. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.